made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back. Welcome back, friends. My apologies for that. Somehow we still haven't gotten the kinks out of what should be a simple job, is having our nice lead-in music that lets us know where we are at and during the program. I'm sorry for stepping on the commercials once again. Well, this is the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, folks, for joining me. Excuse me. We're talking to Sarah. We'll continue this discussion briefly because foreclosure is something that really needs to be explored carefully. And we're going to use that to get onto the topic at hand. I can't plan all of Sarah's process for her. That's certainly not what this program is about. But we can at least strategize as to what are the necessary elements in bringing a situation like this to conclusion. And I guarantee you, it's going to take someone with a bigger stick to do it. And there are a number of ways to influence parties about that bigger stick. And I'm going to review those in staccato fashion shortly. But first, let me just give you a reminder, if I may, that the five-day comprehensive law merchant leadership retreat is being held October 11th through October 15th in Albany, New York. And it promises to be a very exciting time. As you know, we'll be reviewing for 5 days. You'll be immersing yourselves for 5 days in all of the BIC technology, the instruments, the methods of presentation, and the enforcement strategies, with extra emphasis on commercial liens, monetization, and these kinds of plaintiff strategies that we're hoping to get to on tonight's program as well. Also, and to apply to attend, it is by invitation only, for the safety of the attendees. To apply to attend, just send off a brief email requesting a registration form to Roberta T, as in Thomas, at hush.com. Also, if you'd like to attend the two-day free collecting in bankruptcy seminar, which should be a pretty exciting presentation, I don't think the chances are you have not seen anything like this before, and that's also being held in Albany, New York, which is becoming a real international mecca, then by all means, send an email to samsfreeseminar@hush.com, and they'll take good care of you over there. So, Sarah, I don't want to dwell on this is a complex situation, and I don't want to waste people's time dwelling on too many points here. Let me see if I can get right to the point. You have three documents, and the document that is the most problematic is the mortgage, and that has to be redrafted. Redrafting a mortgage, forget all these other things going on around you, trust and whatever, those are enticements to argue. Is that absolutely clear?
Okay, yes.
Yes. So I would say don't argue and redraft. And how would I redraft it? I would redraft it simply. It's been paid. What did you do with the funds? That's the essence of my commercial claim, and I can move from that into plaintiff procedures and enforcement procedures very quickly because they will confess to having stolen the payment. Now, there is a caveat in this case. Do we need to use a BIC instrument, or is the promissory note that was registered into the county records by the mortgage company's attorney sufficient to signify payment on the account? And the answer to that question is it is, but it's also an invitation to argue, so I look for colorable public methods to overcome that. And we're going to spend the next segment dissecting those methods. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Thanks for joining me.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening tonight to Take No Prisoners or Take No Mortgages at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking with Sarah, who is involved in an anticipated sale of a home through nonjudicial foreclosure. It's an interesting case because it does have some side trips that are as enticing invitations to argue as I've seen in some time. Now, Sarah, I'm looking at this affidavit that you constructed, and I'd like to read just a couple of sentences from it. And here's one in particular. That the mortgage company is not a holder in due course and is not in possession or control of the original promissory note, and therefore lacks standing or capacity as a mortgagee under the assignment of mortgage attached here as Exhibit B. Next paragraph, that the mortgage transaction is therefore subject to voidance and rescission. Number seven, that the mortgage company has issued fraudulent and factious securities. Now, this is what I mean about building a commercial lien based upon argument. It can be done. This is called, and you call it an affidavit of statements of fact. And this is basically an affidavit of obligation that we've used in commercial liens many times. And it's one way to go about constructing a commercial lien. Might I suggest that what I would do in a situation like this is, since you will have the stipulations on this, you can add them as a sentence to another process if you were going to go ahead with a true commercial process. And that true commercial process would be to issue some form of payment, registered payment, that ensures that the obligation is fully paid and that there, the by issuing payment and zeroing the account or actually moving the account into a balance in favor of the creditor being you, that the contract terminates. What happens when you pay off a contract?
Well, it's
no longer enforceable.
Right.
It's completed. The contract has run its term. And that's what we seek to do in our redrafting of contracts. We seek to zero the account, in quotes, zero the account, and redraft the contract based upon the premise that it's been paid. In my opinion, that's a much more powerful commercial lien. It's a much more powerful position to be in because it opens up a whole bunch of very simple plaintiff strategies as opposed to going into court in an equity court and saying, here is my pleading for a TRO, a temporary restraining order, or for this or for that, or a motion to do this. I want that relief because, number one, there was fraud. Number two, he's not holding the instrument. Number three, all they did was provide a copy. Number four, there's a fraudulent signature on the trust, et cetera, et cetera. All of which we've seen 100 times, 1,000 times, will be ignored. That's what an equity court is for, under the camouflage of the phrase "in the interest of justice." It's really in the interest of preserving the ability of the United States to raise revenues. So my suggestion is that might not be the best way to hang on to the property. And if it was me, I would take an approach where I would either issue the appropriate BIC instruments. You're familiar with those, are you not?
Yes, to a degree, yes.
All right. So that would mean an indemnity bond or indemnity bonds to the Secretary of the Treasury, and then 4 days later an offset bond and a promissory note, which would be registered through the mailing process. The other opportunity that one has in a case like this is simply to take a certified copy of the promissory note in the public record, accept it for value, and send it in as payment. And that's probably what I would do. So I would follow the BIC principles, but I would use the note that has already been filed by their side. Now, that's what I would do, but I don't necessarily think that would be the smartest move for someone else to do because it will put them in a position of having to defend that promissory note. In other words, you'd be sending in a promissory note saying it's paid, and now you'd be in the position of them saying to you, what do you mean it's paid? That's the same promissory note. You're just sending us back a copy. They could hit you with 100 questions on that, couldn't they?
Yeah, they can.
But if you send in a BIC promissory note, you can hit them with 100 questions. What did you do with my payment? Oh, that doesn't have any value or validity. You know, that same argument could also work with the certified copy of the original instrument because if they said, well, we don't know why you're sending us a copy, a certified copy, your answer could very simply be just to show me a defect in the instrument, and if there is a defect, then that defect must also be applicable to the original. So either way is probably viable depending on who the creditor is and what your preference and flavor of the day happens to be. I would do that presentment by way of an international commercial claim, and in the statement of facts within that sworn international commercial claim, of which we have a most unique one in our bag of tricks, that's when I would bring in the stipulations from this affidavit in which you have successfully achieved their stipulation that they're issuing fraudulent securities, that they're not holder in due course of the original note, et cetera, et cetera. But that wouldn't be the core, those would not be the core issues. Those would be mentioned to add some teeth to it. And you wouldn't be mentioning that this is what they did. You would be mentioning that they have stipulated to having done that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference. Because we, in fact, not only would you be mentioning that they've stipulated it, I prefer to present those sorts of facts by negative averment, citing that there is no evidence of a defect in their particular United States certified public record, and it might be the notary certificate from your affidavit that you sent them, which has been filed into the public through the county, in which you would be simply giving them the opportunity to rebut. There is no evidence of a defect in registered public record such and such, in bearing the seal of the clerk of the county or the clerk of the court of whatever county, in which Jane Doe, agent for the Secretary of State of the state of whatever, has certified that Mr. John Jones, the CFO of this mortgage company, or whoever you address this to, has stipulated to being a bad guy, to issuing fraudulent securities, to doing this, that, and the other thing. That's the highest form of proof you can have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, the highest form of proof is they've already stipulated and certified the stipulation that the United States is liable on the instrument. So that's the way our international commercial claim would set this up. And as part of that statement of facts, we would, right at the very beginning, we would indicate that this account has been paid, the mortgage has been satisfied and closed, and now this is the replacement contract. And we have a contract like that. I'd be happy to share with you. That's my process. Whoever uses something like that would have to do a significant redrafting to make it their contract. In a case like this, you would have to indicate that the trustee has been replaced. Better yet, that they have stipulated to the replacement of the trustee, if that was done in advance and they've stipulated. If not, then the replacement of the trustee and the appointment of the successor trustee could be done by way of this contract. See, there are no fixed rules here. It's all how you want to cut it. So 10 days later, if you have that kind of time, or 72 hours if you don't, all of this is completed. And you make sure it is served upon the appropriate parties. That would be the CFO, the attorney that's involved. They would need to be, in my mind, co-fiduciaries on the instrument. So the clever attorney understands that this apple can turn around and bite him on his rear end. So when the BIC promissory note is being issued, the co-fiduciaries are being brought in as players. We're not just telling you, here, you're a fiduciary. No, we're placing in your hands payment. And we're also accepting for value the original promissory note. We are so generous, we'll pay it twice. We're shameless. We'll pay it three times. But we'll do it all right now, and you have 72 hours to show a defect in it. And then if you don't, we're going to go to work. Now, there are many ways one could go to work in a scenario like this. If it was my commercial lien, I would be leaning the bank. If it was me. Now, I'm prepared to mix it up with them. You might not be. That's why I can't make a recommendation to anyone. I can only suggest what I might do. I would take it to their side of the playing field, my friends. That means I'm going to go on the attack, 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 attack. If I'm going to do it administratively, I'm going to be the one filing a UCC-1. But I'll tell you, not only will I be filing a UCC-1 on the mortgage and my contract and all of that stuff, I would be filing it on their property, which I would include as surety for the true bill that I send them on the international commercial claim. So when I send them a true bill, and anyone who's seen my particular international commercial claim slash lien understands that there are penalties in there by prearrangement, pre-agreement with the principals, or anyone who would deign to be a co-claimant in the straw man, in my claim with the straw man, or to anyone who would attempt to impair this contract. And I would be sending a true bill for that 72 hours later in a case like this. Friends, we'll pick this up after the break.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. So let's fly with some of this technology. Sarah.
Yes, sir.
I would, when I perfect a commercial lien like this, and we'll be happy to share the template that I would use with you, and it'll all be self-evident, I would, upon perfecting of the lien, usually it's 10 days later, but it could be 3 days later, I would be sending a true bill, and that true bill would be to cover the cost of the promissory note. In a case like this, undoubtedly for return of all the original payments, it could be for four times the amount of those payments, and it could include, since they have failed to respond within 72 hours or 10 days, whatever your limit is, it could include some other penalties as well, what we call an escalator clause, in which we add on whatever fees that they have incurred, which are built into the contract, that we tend to view as either being co-claimant fees or I forget the expression we use for the other popular fee, but basically it's a fee for trespass on the claim, for impairment, for trespass on the contract. So there would be a co-claimant fee for any party that would attempt to, that would apply to me for the privilege of being joined to my claim against the straw person or against the trust. By the way, that's something to consider, is putting a UCC-1 in on the trust. If you haven't done that already, that's something that I would strongly consider, putting myself in the creditor position across the board here. So we have fees for that. And if someone, each event of impairment of my claim against the straw man or the straw woman or the trust or whatever it is I'm a creditor to, each event is charged, I believe, at $50 million per event of stultification or impairment. And that's basically for the privilege of being joined to my claim. If you do business with my debtor, if you intend to collect money from my debtor, that money's owed to me. That means you want to be a co-claimant. And our contract has a provision that covers that. By the same token, if you want to impair this contract, and by the way, if you want to understand how their failing to respond is an impairment of contract, then I suggest that you download yesterday's program in the archives. I read a very interesting, excuse the expression, statute, which is under the UCC, and it's the smoking gun that clearly states that if they fail to respond to the writing, they're part of that written contract. So we use both of those to our advantage. Anyway, when I send them the true bill, I would name a surety on that true bill, and in a case like this, now I'm not recommending this to you, Sarah, and I'm not recommending this to anyone, but it's what I would do. I would not just name the house in question here. Certainly that would be up for grabs. But to cover all the other charges, I would name the bank and its property. Now, suddenly, I've kicked it beyond the 50-yard line. We're not playing on my side of the field anymore, my football-loving friends. And then, when I file that UCC-1 on that commercial claim, among other things I might do with it, then I'm in a position to negotiate with the bank's attorney when he calls up and he's screaming at me, "You can't do that kind of nonsense. What do you mean I can't?" It's done. Now, if you want to trade, I'm a nice gal. I'll show you courtesy the likes of which you didn't show me. I'll trade you the $200 million you owe me for the $200,000 house. But you have, by end of business today, to make up your mind, or else we go forward. Now, why would they be scared of going forward? They've got the lawyers, they've got the knowledge, they understand process. They'd be scared if you show them you know what you're doing. And how do you show them you know what you're doing? It's an indication that they will be brought forth to testify. And that's when the information about the false signature on the trust and everything else starts to weigh on their mind, because we cannot go into court when we had our secretary sign the deed of trust as if it was that woman. They can do a handwriting analysis and send us to prison. Or on the BIC process, what did you do with the funds? Oh, that's not funds. Oh, really? Well, did you accept the promissory note as funds and enter it as a demand deposit instrument? Yes or no, you did. So what's wrong with the promissory note a second time? Or what's wrong with this promissory note? Did you not stipulate there's no defect in it? Yes or no? They don't want to face those kinds of questions, Sarah. So you give an indication that you're going to shift this whole battle to their side of the field. One way to do that is to send them a notice right after, the next day, send them a notice that a notary is calling them into a deposition. That ought to get their attention real fast. That indicates you're going to be taking that deposition into court, even though you haven't showed them which court you're going to be heading into. Or you could go into federal court and file a complaint. And that complaint could be the best complaint on the planet, which is a judgment by confession, which we reviewed last Sunday night, and I suggest you download that program. Judgment, let me say it again, judgment by confession. Boy, that sounds pretty to me, because what it means is you're moving judicially. You've already moved administratively, right? You've got a UCC-1 on their property, so they're going to consider fighting you in court anyway or negotiating with you, but now you're moving judicially on them, and they're not used to that, my friends. Especially the way we're going to do it. And we will review that after the break. in the next half hour.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Welcome back, everyone. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're heading into our last half hour, and I'm going to talk fast. We have a lot of territory to cover. Sarah, what I'm intending to do right now, and thank you for spending the whole program with me, to basically give a very brief and rushed BIC overview regarding hellfire enforcement strategies, how I view a case like this, how I wrap my mind around it, and then we'll see after the program if we can hook you up with some mentors who might be able to help you perfect some of your process. Although, obviously, you have some good skills here. I can see by the affidavit that you wrote, you're not a newcomer to a lot of this process. So, before I say that, let me just also observe again that we're going to be reviewing all of this, and we go over it, and we cover all bases at the October Law Merchant Leadership Retreat. It is 5 days, and it is 5 days and nights. We also have seminars in the evening. We share dinner together. We immerse ourselves in what has proven to us to be, in fact, a retreat. We are sequestered. We take over the hotel. And it really is quite an amazing experience. It was one of the most profound experiences of my life. And Sarah, if you'd like to attend as my guest, I'd like to have you up there. I realize October October could be too late for you, but I'm hoping that with the help of some mentors and your own initiative, that you can put this thing to bed. So here's how I would go about it. Number one, on the administrative side, I would perfect an international commercial claim, turn it into a lien with extra penalties, and I would file that on a UCC-1, and I would, personally, me, I would be naming the bank and the bank's property as the surety on that lien, so we'd have something to negotiate and trade, and I would hold fast to that position, and they would hear by the sound of my voice, I'm not playing games with them. If they want to dance, we'll dance in any arena on the planet that'll make them happy. Number two, I might consider, as part of my negotiation strategy, we use what's called a 3-day offer of immunity. I would get that on their desk along with the certificate of non-performance from the notary the day, 4 days after that initial international commercial claim is served. We would close it out and perfect it, and it would cross their desk with a 3-day offer of immunity that would give them a sample draft copy of a 1099-C that we're going to be placing in for the 50 or 100 million or whatever it is to IRS to come collect on those instruments. I might also, in a case like this, assign that commercial claim to, by way of a quitclaim deed to IRS, and put that quitclaim deed as well as the lien on a UCC-1 and then a UCC-3 assignment to IRS, so I know they are now an interested party to this scenario. Let the bank deal with that. Let's see how they like it. And I would make the CFO personally liable on that. I would serve him with the instruments. I would, at the same, those are some of the administrative things that I would do, and I'm not recommending any of those to anyone. Secondly, as far as the sale goes, if they bull through all of that I just mentioned, then I would feel it's important to get in on the public side and stop them judicially. And believe me, I can bring them to a halt. I may not win right away, but I can bring them to a halt right away. Why? Because that very same international commercial claim has the most potent confession of judgment built into it that you could imagine. We have them a party to the execution that they are confessing to judgment in advance. We reverse the mortgage right on them. And that would be the essence of how I might, if I felt I had to, go into the public side, into a court, perhaps a United States court, perhaps a state court, to halt the process right then and seek my relief. But I might also be concerned about the sale. So that 3-day offer of immunity would make it very clear that if they even dare to sniff around the sale, actually, I'd go one step further. I received something. I told this at the last law merchant conference. I received a notice of lien sale on my own property in a storage unit for a unit where a check of ours bounced because their bank duplicated the check and reissued it as a check 21 electronic check, even though they put the paper check through and cashed it as well. It threw our account into arrears. And the woman who ran that unit, despite being shown this by my banker, by me, and by her own bank, decided she was going to try and sell my property. And she sent off one of those little half-page NCR papers, notice of lien sale. I would get one of those, or I'd order one at a printer real cheap, and I would include that with a 3-day offer of immunity. Notice of lien sale on their property. If they can judicially foreclose you, you can judicially foreclose them. Excuse me, non-judicially foreclose them if they can non-judicially foreclose you. And I would let them know that my intent is to sell your property the same day you sell my property. You want to have a sale? Let's have a sale. And folks, that's called mirroring. And that's how I would stop the sale, flat out cold. By the same token, I would send people to the sale with nice, bright, day-glow green and orange and pink notices of interest with copies of the UCC-1 on that property and the priority standing on that property, as well as copies of the UCC went on the bank's property. Keep it short and sweet, and I'd have them passing it out at the location of the sale, and I'd also have someone there ready to repurchase the property for a promissory note, and if they refuse to accept the promissory note, I'd have a notary there as an agent of the Secretary of State certifying the criminal complaint that's being filled out on them at that time. Folks, there's a million things one can do. I'm not telling you to do any of this, but I'm showing you that there are a million things you can do. If you want to do some lower risk interference with their process, then you can construct a two-page complaint to be filed, let's say, in federal district court. You get it above $75,000 and bring it in under diversity, or bring it into state court, wherever you want. And you could either put it in as a bona fide complaint with a summons and summons them in to testify and serve them with that the day before the sale. That might shock them. Or better yet, why not go into federal district court or state court, where they're used to seeing it, with a confession of judgment. It's called judgment by confession. In fact, I think I'm going to include that standard equity package, judgment by confession, on the CD for the Law Merchant Leadership Conference, so everyone can look at it and see how it looks when they do it. And then all we do is put in a very similar one page, it's literally one paragraph, judgment by confession. That's basically done in lieu of a complaint because you have a stipulated agreement. Everybody's in agreement. You're bringing it in, and you staple to the back of that, or you attach to the back of that, the notary's certificate of non-performance on the international commercial claim, and a copy of the confession of judgment from the international commercial claim. And that is basically all one would need to really get the ball rolling here and get people very nervous. In fact, in some courts, if you were to walk that into the clerk's office in a shirt and tie and let her operate under the assumption that you're an attorney, and you say, "Ms. Jones, hi, I'm Mr. Jones who called early. Thanks for taking a moment. I need you to sign off on this confession of judgment. I've got to get this back to the client right away. This is very important." She might make the assumption and sign it because they do not need the judge's signature on a stipulated agreement. It could be that simple to have a judgment against the mortgage company or the bank. And it wouldn't just be for the pitiful numbers that they're throwing around on this liability. It would be for some big numbers. Or you could bring it in for lower numbers if you thought that that would make it easier to slide under the clerk's nose, because I'll tell you, at the same time I'm getting that confession, I'm getting a writ of exigency, and I'm going to be at the sheriff that day, and I'm going to say, "I need you to seize that bank." So there are many things that can be done. The simplest, my friends, is sometimes the one that people fear the most, which is moving into the court with a complaint. Now, if you're going to move into the court with a complaint or a confession of judgment, if you move in with a complaint, attached to it should be a petition in the nature of a motion for, well, since you're going in as a plaintiff, heck, put a motion in, a motion for summary judgment based upon the pleadings, because the summary judgment is going to be based upon the notary's administrative judgment. It's a done deal. They have already stipulated to A, B, C, D, E, and F, and that's the way the complaint would be written. There is no evidence. Count number one, there is no evidence that registered public record number such and such, in which John Jones, agent for the Secretary of State of the state of whatever, has certified that Mr. John Smith, DBA, ABC Bank, has confessed judgment on the following, and you slide that in as count one, and that's really all you need, because it is already a confession built into the complaint, and you ask for summary judgment on that. If they want to argue it, you can put in a demand for a bill of particulars, a very simple thing. That's also, you'll find it on the Rockland CDs. Friends, you'll find most of this stuff, non-BIC, but the same procedures, notary deposition. What did I just mention? The confession of judgment, administrative remedy, international commercial claim, complaints, All of those things are on the Rockland CD as well. So that's a very inexpensive and quick way to get that information. And most of you already have it, so it won't cost you a dime. Just get it from your friends. Excuse me. So all of those are relatively simple ways to get the ball rolling on a case like this. Will it require some paperwork? Yes. A real shuffle to get the claim out? Yes. But in the 3 or 4 days that you're awaiting their non-response, one could be putting together the 3-day offer of immunity and the copy of the 1099-C, the UCC-1, and assignment, the quick claim deed. Those are all one-page documents to let them know that this is what's going to happen if you fail to respond positively and honor these instruments. And finally, we would also let them know that our big gun, Treasury liquidation, is also going to be instituted the day that that 3-day offer of immunity expires. But if you really want to stop them, you file in federal court and you do it with an informa pauperis, an affidavit of informa pauperis. We had many brilliant people who attended the seminar. I can't begin to tell you. There were people in the hallways holding court all night on their own methods for land patent and this and that. And one very bright fellow, a banker of many years, stood up and shared with us his affidavit of informa pauperis with double vertical line dollar signs that he's used in a number of cases, and never once has it even received a question. So if you want to file, anytime you file as a plaintiff, my suggestion is you would not want to file with Federal Reserve notes volunteering the fact that you are a debtor. Why on earth would we undo all of our hard work by volunteering in the first 5 minutes of our visit to the clerk's office that we're going to come into this as a debtor, and you can do anything you'd like to us in equity because we know no better? Lord knows we want to hold our position as a creditor. That's what the Lord intended for us. And we do that with an affidavit of informa pauperis. Sarah.
Yes, sir.
You're still there. I'm sure this is a lot of information to take down at once, but you get the general idea?
Yeah, but my head's flying around.
Of course. Well, that's why this will be in the archives. You won't be able to archive it tonight. The archives are swamped. But tomorrow sometime you can download it. And if you send me over to takenoprisoners@hush.com your email address, then I'll be happy to send you out some links to mentors, the affidavit of informa pauperis, the judgment by confession package, which you have to do nothing with. Just look at it to see how they do it and see how, if you wanted, Sarah, if you wanted to construct a judgment by confession pleading for a court instead of a complaint, it would take you probably an hour. It's one paragraph. Imagine that. And to it, you would staple the true bill and the confession of judgment from the international commercial claim. And that international commercial claim, which I will send you, that's where the main study and focus probably will lie for you if you choose to head down this pathway. So it's not as much work as what it sounds.
So would you issue a promissory note?
Well, let me suggest that you download the archives and listen to everything I said, because I think I covered that earlier in the program. I would use BIC instruments, or I might use a copy of the original promissory note, a certified copy accepted for value, or I might use them both. I don't want to give them any wiggle room. I like BIC. Why, Sarah? Do you understand why those instruments are so valuable?
Yes.
Why?
Because Treasury can liquidate them.
Well, they can liquidate anything you send to them, but they're named on it. So you're very close to being right on the mark. The Secretary of the Treasury is the named beneficiary on the promissory note. Wouldn't you like that point of leverage?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So why not issue a BIC instrument and at the same time accept for value the promissory note and return it? Heck, I'll even include the rescission package. You can rescind the original promissory note. You don't, come to think of it, you don't need the rescission package for that. You just need to attach a one-paragraph cover to it This promissory note is being rescinded for cause. Have a nice day. Does that make sense? It's that simple.
Yeah.
And if you ever wanted to, if you ever deigned to be courteous enough to discuss the cause with them, it would be because I don't believe there was disclosure that this was the source of the funds. In all of those papers that the federal housing authorities require you to disclose to me, could you please show me that document? But you don't want to get into those arguments with them. By the way, when you put in if you put a simple complaint in with a motion for summary judgment into federal court or state court, or you put in a confession of judgment, you'd probably want to put in a statutory notice of interest, which is known as a Liz Pendens. And it basically is a one-paragraph statement that you're giving notice that there is a lawsuit involving this property. Anyway, Sarah, that
yes,
music
sir.
Means we're done with this segment. I want to thank you for joining me. And make sure to send me off that email. I hope this was helpful for you. Friends, we'll be back in 3 minutes for the final segment of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Welcome, friends. Welcome back. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I think for this last 4 or 5 minutes, we need a change of pace. I get a little worked up when I hear the Federal Reserve trying to confiscate yet another elderly party's residence. Sometimes the last piece of sanctuary and property and retreat that they have in the world. So we're going to hook Sarah up with some of the tremendous mentors who have evolved from the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. We spoke yesterday with a fellow who was arrested immediately after the conference in a lengthy ongoing case. It was sort of expected, and I'm pleased to say that three of the mentors at the conference, let me see, two of them had been two-time attendees, went to his rescue and are assisting him in composing his strategies and documents, and one even went ahead and forwarded bail money to his mother to bail him out. So when I say that these were the most extraordinary events, especially this last one, I'm really not exaggerating. It was a deeply moving experience. It was a spiritual experience, and it was an awakening to many people that were there, and I was able to bask in their positive energy. Truly was amazing. I know that word is kicked around rather lightly with reality television, but this was reality. We got down to it, and there were very few questions by the time people left. All the questions appear, of course, in the months after, as we start to get into the little details and perfecting what we're doing. But that's to be expected, and that's why we have email, so we can answer those things. So I invite you, if the last 15 minutes of this program was, in fact, in my mind, hellfire, now you see why I named it that. Because once I cross over the 50-yard line, I ain't backing down. And I don't care how many attorneys they bring at me. I don't care how red-faced the judge is or what the bailiff looks like. I'm not backing down. They'll only get away with it one time. And then they'll always be playing in my arena. Keep that in mind, because the secret to winning is attack, attack, attack. It's that simple. And there are many, many strategies. We didn't even touch the surface with Sarah, and yet her head's swimming. That's why we need days to do this and nights to do this, not just a radio program like this. Poor Sarah's under the gun here, and there's a contemplated sale on the 22nd, so she's got to get moving. Out of respect for her, if you're listening live, please don't go to the archives for a couple of days. Let her get in there and download first. They're jammed. They're always jammed there for our program. But she'll be working hard at making sure that the Federal Reserve does not take her property. And mentors from the conference and myself will be helping her. My friends, this brings us, that music means that we're at the end of another edition of Take No Prisoners. Blessed to be coming to you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. To have this opportunity to share these nights with you folks, and I look forward to seeing you again next Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and next Sunday at 9 p.m. right here for Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Good night and God bless. My bitter's putting down. It's true.